Hi, welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Wade Wegner.
And I'm Nick Harris.
So we got Nick Harris on the show today. He's joined us in the past.
Thank you.
Yeah, good to have you. We're going to cover today the Windows Azure Toolkit for Windows 8. We showed the blog post yesterday and alluded to it, last week,
yep.
And alluded to it having been released. This week, Nick is going to walk into it in depth, and yep. we're gonna take a look at, you know, getting started, using the bits, walking through the libraries, how it works, everything. Yep. So it'll be a great show.
Yep. And I guess by the end of it, you'll be able to send notifications to your Win8 clients quite quickly.
Yep.
So it's a pretty cool experience. I hope you enjoy it.
Awesome. All right. So, but before that, as always, we will start with the news.
Let's check it out.
So we figured that we'd at least address this since I did talk about it and blog about it today. So I have decided to leave Microsoft. Very, very hard decision. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But for personal reasons, my family's decided to move back to Colorado. So I'm pretty excited about that. In a past life, I used to be fairly athletic and, you know, enjoy getting out into the mountains once in a while and hopefully get back into that. So I'm sure we'll have more news in terms of, you know, where the show's going, what's going to happen and so forth. But at the very least, just wanted to acknowledge it and...
Do you think there'll be a farewell party and perhaps that will be all expenses paid?
All expenses paid? We'll see.
Just wondering.
Perhaps I can bring some of my homebrew at the very least. So.
All right, that sounds good.
But yeah, so we'll there'll be more to share in the coming weeks. But yeah, so moving on quickly.
Brings a tear to my eye.
So I think 2 weeks ago, Nathan Totten and Glenn Block were on the show,
yep.
And they talked a little bit about some of the pricing changes. And you and I were chatting today, and one of the things that we wanted to call out that we didn't, I think, really emphasize was that not only has there been a pricing change in terms of the extra small instance,
yep.
going down to 2 cents an hour, but the ratio from extra small to small has
yep.
changed to 1 to 6.
Yep.
So essentially, in terms of calculating your compute hours for every 6 instances of, basically 6 yeah. instances of your extra small equates to small.
Yep.
So when you take a look at your MSDN subscription yep. and the benefits you get through MSDN yep. or the free trial, et cetera, you can use that ratio to help calculate exactly what kind of yeah. Hours you'll get using the extra small instance.
So that pretty much means then I could have 6 extra small instances and be paying the 2 cents an hour. And get an SLA.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah. So 2 cents yeah. an hour per instance, yeah. But you'd be able to at least get the SLA associated with it. Yes. And actually, if you look at then how it maps back to hours you'd get through yeah. MSDN, I forget exactly what it is, but I'm pretty sure it's computed in small instances.
Yeah.
You know every extra small is essentially 1/6 of a small instance. So it's an amazing benefit. So
yeah.
definitely take a look at that. And if you're looking at ways of really maximizing the use of your benefits, extra small is a pretty compelling option. And we'll link to here as well, but it's got yep. additional details in terms of, you know, how much memory you get, your number of cores,
yep. bandwidth.
Bandwidth, et cetera. Yep. I think it's 5 megabits per second.
Yep.
For extra small.
Yep.
So take a look. Really, really good information there.
Yep.
Another one we thought we'd point out is, and this was a pretty cool story back at the, I think it was January, end of January, or maybe it was early February, I bet this post says, the Screen Actors Guild actually ran their website, you know, on Windows Azure and had taken the LAMP stack and essentially migrated the application over such that it could run on Windows Azure. And Brian Swan has posted a lot of the details about that. So you can take a look at, I mean, he's very open about, you know, what were some of the challenges, things that they had to do to get it going. Everything from exporting the data to getting Drupal installed up into Windows to moving the data out of MySQL over to SQL Azure, all of these things. And you know, if you're looking to take an application that's currently running in the LAMP stack and you want to leverage Windows Azure, this post is probably a really good place to start and take a look at some of the things that they had to go through and some of the ways in which they went about doing it. So you can see talking about exporting their data, getting Drupal installed.
So what was their full stack at the end that they used?
I think Windows.
Yep.
So Windows, running Windows
yep.
Azure,
yep.
IIS,
yep.
SQL Azure, so SQL, and yep. then PHP.
Okay,
so,
nice.
Take a look at this great post. A lot of really good information here, and I sure hope we see more more of these PHP applications and PHP workloads moving over Windows Azure. Yep. So, all right.
Cool.
And even though we did technically cover it last week and alluded to it, we figured the last news item, we would use it as a transition into the feature today, and that being the Windows Azure toolkit for Windows 8. So quickly, why don't you tell us a little bit about this in your own words, and we'll go from there.
I don't have a written script here. So the Windows Azure toolkit for Windows 8 is a collection of, I guess, VizX projects, which give you a far new project experience than Visual Studio. We've got them for Dev 11 and VS 2010. So we've got the far new project experience, we've got NuGet packages, we've got sample applications, and we've got a whole sort of automated setup experience for this particular toolkit, such that you can get VS 2010 and Dev 11 running side by side with the Azure tools and emulator without having to sort of do any manual configuration.
Yep. It's pretty awesome. And we'll go through it today. I think you're going to walk us through the download, the setup to everything experience. Yep. But it's a neat project. It's actually very similar in concept to what we did with the Windows Phone.
Yep.
In fact, I think one thing you may end up showing us too is a lot of the services that are running in Windows Azure are the exact same services used by the Windows Phone and iOS and Android clients as well.
That's
So I mean, it's really neat to start thinking about how Windows Azure can provide that services backend to power all kinds of device experiences, Windows 8, Windows Phone, iOS, Android. And certainly the toolkit helps to light up some unique experiences for Windows 8, which we'll go through today.
Yeah, so two key scenarios it's lighting up, and that's notifications. So bringing your start screen and those live tiles to life, and also ACS.
Yep.
So if you want to leverage ACS in your Windows 8 application, we provide the means to do that as well.
Yep. And ACS, I think Vittorio and I talked a little bit about it last week, but Nick and Vittorio have done a great job of really trying to prototype what it looks like to get the access control service and Windows 8 working together pretty nicely. So before we go any further, when we were chatting, we were thinking it might be good to walk through step back and walk through the architecture around how these notifications work with Windows 8 before we jump too far into the toolkit.
So makes sense.
Can transition over to the whiteboard.
Okay. So let's put in context what the toolkit is going to be able to generate for you in terms of when you do a file new project experience. Let's have a look at the overall architecture and how the life cycle of a notification works.
Great.
So let's start with our Win8 client. So we'll call this Win8. Now, so this is our Win8 client application. Now, this application is going to have a tile pinned to the start screen in Windows. So what we want to do is we want to be able to post or push notifications to that start screen. So we need a few building blocks here. We're going to use a cloud service as well up in Windows Azure. And we'll call this our notification service. And this is in Windows Azure. Now, we also need one last block, and then we'll start drawing some lines on there. Let's move this one up a bit.
A little bit higher.
We need the WNS. So WNS is called the Windows Push Notification Service. Now, this is a free service offered by Microsoft and allows you to post notifications to these particular client applications. So let's have a look a bit at the flow that we're going to use to do this. So we've got our Win8 Metro-style application built using Dev 11, and we're going to need to add some code to call into the WinRT APIs to request a channel.
Now, WinRT APIs, people may not be familiar with this, but this is... Well, why don't you explain WinRT a little bit?
So these are the new APIs, essentially, that developers who are developing, say, a C#, JS, or C++ application can go and call into to utilize all the new capability within Windows 8.
Gotcha. Great.
Right. So the first call that we're going to do is to request a channel. Now, a channel is a way to uniquely identify a tile on the screen. So it gives you something to address and post a notification to. So the first step is to request a channel. WNS, so we call into the WinRT API, that will go out and call WNS, and WNS is going to send back a channel.
And now the channel is really just an addressable endpoint Just essentially, yeah, exactly. Some HTTP something, some way of it's a channel that can be used then to communicate with the tile and with the client.
That's right. So now that we've got this on the client, if we're building, say, a weather application or a news application, we're probably going to have a service, perhaps a worker role up in Windows Azure or a website or something that's sitting there waiting and checking out with those external services to see when something's changed that's worthwhile to notify the user about. So our cloud service needs to know about this channel such that it can address it. So our Win8 client application has to push that channel up into our service. So we send that channel up into our cloud service.
Now, so basically that's taking that URI, that addressable URI, and literally just saving and storing it somewhere up in Windows Azure.
Yep.
So sending it to a service we're running and then storing it somewhere such that we can use it in the future.
That's correct. So with the current toolkit implementation, we're using table storage to store that channel.
Yep.
So our channel will come down and get stored in there.
And I think in the Windows Phone toolkit, well, I don't think I know, we offer the option for table storage, which is a great place for it. But you could use SQL Azure. You could,
that's right.
I mean, you could use a number of different places. The point is just that we're putting it somewhere that'll persist so that we can then use it later.
That's correct. And in actual fact, this service that we expose here is the same service that we use for the Windows Phone toolkit.
Yep. So it's phone.notifications.
Yep.
So,
yeah, so
is the NuGet package,
No, it's Windows Azure.notifications.
Oh, Windows Azure.notifications. Sorry,
phone.notifications
is
the old name,
the client.
Or the client.
Another client for Windows Phone.
So this service anyhow can be consumed actually from the iOS toolkit, the Android toolkit, the WinPhone toolkit, and now the Win8 toolkit.
Yep. And it's worth pointing out, I mean, the service is just a web API. It's currently, I mean, it's currently using the WCF web API preview 6. I think there are certainly plans to get it updated to the ASP.NET web APIs, but just there's nothing that extraordinary about it. It's just it's a web API and a service that you can call into.
That's exactly right. So just to recap, because I think we diverged a bit, we'll just say there's three main steps. One is the request channel. Two is the register channel. And now the third step is to authenticate and push. So let's say our service perhaps was monitoring some National Bureau of Meteorology, and there's a hail warning. And we want to let you know to perhaps go and move your car under the building such that it's not outside. So our cloud service will need to determine when that occurs and then construct a notification to send to Wade. So to do that, internally we need to compose that notification. And then we need to take this channel URI that we've requested from WNS for Wade's instance of this application, and then we need to post to that. So to do that, it's a two-step process here. The first step is to auth against WNS. Mm-hmm. The second step is to compose your payload, which is perhaps a toast message to you saying, move your car, there's a hailstorm coming. So we auth, and then we push.
Right. Now, when you auth, there's a response that comes back, right?
There is a response that comes back, and we need to take that auth header. We need to take that token, essentially, from WNS and then put that in the authorization header when we do a push notification.
Yep.
So we do the auth, and then we do the push. That'll hit WNS, and then WNS will then push that notification down to Wade's instance targeted by the channel, and then you'll see your toast notification.
Great. Yep.
And that's basically it.
Awesome. So it sounds like there's a lot of components, and I know the toolkit covers a lot of these things for you, so we let's just jump in and we'll show a demo.
Sounds good. So let's do a demo of the download and install experience. So perhaps for those of you who may be running Win8 Consumer Preview at the moment, you may have gone out and installed, say, VS 2010 and perhaps tried to get the Azure SDK running. There are some steps published on WindowsAzure.com that show you how to do it manually. But what I'd like to demonstrate to you is that it's possible to use this toolkit to automate that experience for you. So it just means, you know, a little less friction for you, and you can perhaps go and have a soda or something like that while you're waiting for that to happen rather than having to click around. So let's go and download this toolkit. So we're on wat-windows8.codeplex.com, and we're just going to download this to my desktop. And there's my download manager, which I'll just use a regular one here. Save, drop it on the desktop. So while this comes down, let's have a look at some of the things we've got on the site here. landing page. It has full links out to all the documentation, a 4-minute webcast of end-to-end experience, and also an in-depth 1-hour session that goes and talks about all these things, with depth that's going to, I guess, make you an expert. Now that it's downloaded, let's go and install the toolkit. So we've got a self-extracting executable here. Just hit OK. Default install is into Windows Azure /WAT Windows on C drive. Now, this goes and extracts all the documentation, all the NuGet packages, the full source for them, the ones that we use. It extracts a number of samples. It extracts all the setup scripts and such. And it also extracts the VizX, which is the template type for a file new project mm-hmm. experience.
And it's consistent with other toolkits as well as the training kit and the way in which we do it. So hopefully no one's surprised by the experience.
Yeah, that's right. Exact same experience. So once we've extracted it, we need to now go and execute this such that it can go and install these file new project experiences and set up the tooling for us. So let's run this. So this is the first step of the setup experience. So mm-hmm. we call this the pre-step. So we go off and we go and turn on all the features that are required by the toolkit using DISM.
Yeah, so if you go to WindowsAzure.com, go to the Developer Center, and then choose to install .NET, or to get the .NET SDK, you'll notice a little link right below the big green button, and it basically shows you the Win8 process. Yeah. There's a manual step of going through and configuring IIS, configuring all the dependencies appropriately on Windows 8. Yeah. This is running DISM, which automates that process. Yes. So it's essentially doing everything for us so that... I've watched the forums and a whole bunch of places, and I think one of the number one challenges people have is they miss one thing, and consequently things don't work.
Yep.
This process will essentially get it all set up correctly for us.
Yep.
So,
that's right.
It takes a few minutes, but it's a few minutes. It's worth waiting to make sure that the experience is sound.
I think perhaps we should put the link up online if anyone wants to do the manual steps. We can go on. Post them up.
Yep, absolutely.
But the key thing to note is if you are doing those manual steps and you're trying to use a toolkit, you should execute this for the toolkit because, as you'll see soon, there's other dependencies and postscripts we need to run to allow the scenarios that we're trying to build out to occur.
Yep. So as part of the toolkit, there are additional samples. You alluded to ACS, and one of the dependencies there is the Windows Identity Foundation runtime.
Yep.
And so the toolkit makes sure that you have that dependency.
That's correct.
There's also, with ACS, essentially, when you call out and do a request, you're going to get a post back or a response back from the service, and it does require, I think, some firewall changes as well, so that it doesn't get blocked.
Yep.
So that's right. That gets automated. What else? There's
we've got some loopback exemptions.
Exactly. Yep. So that you can do the local development and have no problems with the post back. And then any other dependencies?
That's pretty much dependency wise. We've got the NuGet package managers.
That's right.
So we install or have a dependency on NuGet such that our automated scripts can go off when we do the file new project experience and pull down these NuGet packages to compose your application.
Yep. Yeah, and one other thing we'll mention too since we're waiting. Obviously, Nick has gone through this many times and most of these settings are already made. There's no harm in running this multiple times.
So
if you've gone through and manually set this up, don't worry about running it again. It's just going to, it'll either install things that you've missed or it'll just, notice that things have already been set and there won't be any problems.
That's right. And I think we're getting sort of close to the end here now.
Yeah, what else can we talk about as we wait for this?
I will be right here waiting for you.
Why don't you show us some of the other things in the toolkit we'll explore.
Yeah, so we've got the root directory of the toolkit. We've got docs. So within there you'll find a README doc that will walk you through end-to-end for all the scenarios, but also the file new project experience. We've got libraries here, which we'll dig into a little bit later. But
these are the source for all the NuGets, right?
These are the source for all the NuGet packages. So as you'll see here, if I click into WNS Recipe, you've got the full source there if you'd like it.
And we'll get into this a little bit later, like you said. But what's nice about this is the NuGets are a great way to very quickly grab the stuff. But invariably, as you go down a path, you'll find that you want to make slight changes, do things a little bit differently.
Yep.
You can kill the reference and just reference the library directly and have at it.
Yep, that's correct. So here we go. We've popped up to the next phase of the installation, which is the dependency check.
Mm-hmm.
So as you can see, I've already set up my machine here, so it's flagging all those dependencies as being okay. But if you're starting out with a blank slate, a fresh install, most of these dependencies won't be there. So what will be there is a link to go out and where you can install them.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. So, and it'll integrate into the web platform installer where appropriate.
Yes, that's correct. So the next step of the installation process is just to do the post-build scripts. So let's run them. So here's the firewall rules, which Wade talked about. There's a certificate for trusting it, local host.
Yep.
What's this next one? The loopback exemptions, which we talked about.
Yep, for the web auth broker.
Here's one we missed. So add your local user as an admin to the SQL Express instance on your machine.
Yep.
So we've got a little script that does that for you, just to make sure that your storage emulator is going to spin up and provision
and
itself correctly
DSN
the first
it runs
time.
Properly. Yep.
Yep. So what it's doing now is it's going out to install all these VizX extensions, which are the file new project experience, and we'll see where they get embedded in a minute. But you can see the first one here is for C# Metro apps. So this is the client portion of the solution in Dev 11 or VS 11. And we've got a JavaScript variant of the client as well. Now you can see it's installing to Ultimate and Express, but we do support all the SKUs in between as well. It's only that I've got these installed on my machine here. And we've got the last one here, we've got VS 2010 Express.
And so this is the template for all the Windows Azure projects.
That's correct. Yep. So that's the services component.
Yep. Great.
So with that, we're done.
We're done. All right.
So we're installed. So perhaps should we jump into a...
Yeah, let's create a new project. Let's build an app.
Yeah, let's do it. So what we're going to do is we're going to build an application, and that tile is going to be pinned on this start screen, and we're going to send some notifications to it so we can get some of these actions that you're seeing here with tiles peeking around the place and looking live and fresh with relevant and up-to-date information.
Yep.
So the first thing we need to do is we need to start up our client solution. So I'm going to launch VS 11 Express. And we'll build out the client. And then we'll jump into VS 2010 and build out the server.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do a file new project here. Perhaps just to show you where you can remove these extensions if you want to, you can go into the Tools Extension Manager and you can see here they're those VizX that we installed.
Yep.
So these guys are actually surfaced up when you do a new project now into the appropriate template, be it a JS Metro style application or a C# Metro style application.
Yep.
So we're going to hit OK on this. Now, here's part of the process that we need to talk about. So when we're building an application that uses WNS, there needs to be an authorization step when you authenticate against WNS to say that WNS recognizes you and that you're allowed to post to a particular application.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing we need to collect from you when we build these client applications is some credentials. So what we need to do is we need to go out and request those for those credentials from WNS and then embed them into our application.
Right.
So this wizard step essentially allows you to do that. So the first thing we need to do is click here to go out to the portal. So this is the Windows Push Notification and Live Connect portal. There are some instructions here, but we'll skip those and we'll just go straight to the steps.
And it's worth pointing too that this page isn't really customized to map back to the wizard that we're
going through.
This is assuming you're doing just a file, new project, and you're doing everything on your own. So if you read the instructions, it may seem like a little bit different. So just bear with it. And the wizard makes this really easy. Of course, you could do it yourself, but... But a Nick will show you what to do.
Yeah, that's a good point to note. So the wizard, if you do a file new project and you get a blank application, you can come in and grab the values that it wants you to put in for this particular project. The wizard, since the wizard actually occurs before you generate the project, we surface the details you need to post in here into the form. So if we jump back to Visual Studio here, you can see that we just click on this link and that'll copy the package display name.
Yep, into the clipboard.
And then, And then we can come back here and just paste it in.
Yep.
So likewise, we also need a publisher. We come back here and we paste it in there. Now it's important to note that that you use the correct value for this, because if you don't, at the end of the day when you try to send a notification, you'll get a 403 unauthorized.
Mm-hmm. And one question too, if in the future after I've gone through the wizard, can I change these values as well?
You can't actually change the publisher name here through the portal, but you can request a new set of credentials.
So I could always create a new one and have a different set of credentials if I wanted to.
And all the key set that is generated for you, they're all externalized into the client application and into your Azure project. So say in the Azure project, you can grab these keys that are given to you from the service configuration file.
Gotcha. So I can change it.
So you can change it at any time.
Great.
And here are those credentials which we talked about. So the first one here is for the client application, and the next two are for the services.
Okay.
So we'll leave this page open, and we'll come back to that when we build out our service solution. So let's paste that back in and hit next. So the next thing we've got is step two that we've done on the board. So where do we push that channel when we've got it from WNS?
Right.
We need to post that up to our cloud service.
Correct.
In this case, it's running on localhost.
Right. And if we had already deployed the service to a cloud app, cloudapp.net address, we could put in that address as well.
You just replace localhost there with that. So let's hit next. And ACS we may come back to in a sample. So you are able to generate the code for that here in the wizard, but we'll look at a specific.
And if I did choose this, and essentially what that means is when I open up the client application, the very first step would be to use the web auth broker to log into my application.
Yeah.
Even before registering or starting to get ready to accept the notifications.
Yep, you've done this before, haven't you?
Maybe.
Have you been checking in on me? Okay, so I've just hit OK on that wizard step now, and it's going off and generating our client application. So while we let that do that, let's go and spin up our server-side solution and build that out so we can get a full end-to-end. So let's go back here. We want to use VS 2010 to build out our Azure project. Going to run as admin.
And it may be obvious, but Nick and I have been asked this even just recently. You absolutely can run VS 11 and VS 2010 together side by side.
Yes.
So, again, seems obvious. I mean, we're doing, but it's worth calling it out because I don't know that everyone is aware of that.
Yes, 100%. So let's build the server-side solution. So I've just hit new project, and you can see now I'm in VS 2010. Mm-hmm. So whenever you see 2010, that's our services. Whenever you see VS 11, that's our client. And again, we go and install that VizX as part of that install process into the cloud project here.
And one other thing to point out as well is this is a point in time scenario such that we need 2010. In the future, the Windows Azure projects will absolutely be supported and work within Visual Studio 11 so that you could essentially have a solution that includes your Windows Azure project and your client applications.
Yep.
This is just a point of time thing.
Yep.
In the near future, you won't even need to have that 2010 dependency.
That's right. And at that point in time, we'll update the file new project experience to be just one within Dev 11, and that will generate client and server for you.
Great.
Okay. So let's go out and build this server application. So Win8 Cloud application, let's hit OK. Now the first step, again, we've got a wizard similar to the client. First step is, we've got these channel URIs that we've pushed up into our cloud service. Where are we going to store them?
Mm-hmm.
So we can either specify a live account in this wizard, or let's go and do it locally. So we'll use the storage emulator.
Yep.
Next step, we need to go back to that portal and grab the other two pairs of the key set. So I've kept it open here. So we can see if I jump back here, I've got a client secret, and I've also got a package SID.
And I assume if I did accidentally close down the website, I'd be able to click a link and get back to that client application and all that information.
That's right. So if you accidentally close down the website, you can click here on this link where it says if you've already registered this application, you can click there, and it'll take you into the portal where you can identify that particular,
and it stands out because it's got all the white space in front of it. So
yes,
like six spaces.
I'm still working on that. It's a resolution thing. It's quite bizarre. But there's our WNS credentials for our services.
Yep.
So now we're going off and we're generating the Windows Azure project. So you can see down in the bottom left, perhaps, that it's pulling down these NuGet packages. You can see the WNS recipe. You've got the Windows Azure .notifications coming in. Some WCF Web API stuff, which we'll update in the near future.
Well, this is one thing that's really nice that you've done that we haven't had a chance to do with the Windows Phone side is rather than shipping all these additional libraries as just a deal on a reference, you've made the dependency set up. You set up the dependency through NuGet as well, which is nice because NuGet's got it's a great way of managing these dependencies. And if we were to publish a new NuGet package, we could get the notification and essentially just update all those references to use the latest version of the assemblies.
That's correct. So. All right, so we've got our server-side solution here. So if we look down a little bit, it's a classic cloud project. We've got one web role here, and that web role will have some UI for us to go out and explore these notifications. So let's spin it up. If you note, it's just been a pure wizard process so far, and we haven't really had to go and write any code to get our first notifications going via WNS on Win8. So let's spin up our services. So this will spin up our cloud project on our local emulator here, and that's going to open up that website and also have that registration endpoint available for our client application to post the channel to.
Yep.
So hopefully we can perhaps upgrade my machine a little bit, Wade, so we can spin this up faster in future. Maybe it's a final request you can put in for me. And here we go. So it's spinning up. Another point to note is, as you can see here in VS in the center, there's documentation that's dropped into these when you create a new project. So perhaps if you've watched this and you want to just go out and explore on your own, the documentation is going to be readily available for you.
Yep.
So you can go through it at your own pace, perhaps without having to watch a video.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are. So let's log in and see what we've got.
And note, we used to, in the old days with the Windows Phone toolkit, we actually listed the admin username and password on that landing page.
Yep.
Got a lot of feedback that, you know, there's some people that just actually deploy that directly up into Windows Azure and never bother changing that. So we removed it, so at the very least there's a little bit of obfuscation by the fact that it's not listed there.
Yep.
The password's listed in the documentation.
That's correct.
And it's really just one of those funky character variants of password. Yep. So it's not a difficult password.
That's right. So you'll see here that we've got two tabs here, one for push notifications and one for blob storage.
Yep.
So if we're sending tile updates, we need somewhere to store those images.
Mm-hmm.
So the blobs tab allows you to go and upload some images there that you can play with.
Yep. So if I wanted to push that image down to a tile or toast or something like that, they're stored in Windows Azure Blob Storage and very easy to send them down.
That's correct. And the push notifications page lists all the channels that have registered up to your service. You can see that there's a number of them there already. This is perhaps because I didn't clear my storage emulator.
Yep.
So what we need to do is we need to spin up the client, and let's see that it's going to go and register that channel, and we're going to go and see that within this UI. So let's hit run on VS11. And we should spin up our application that we generated out through the file new project experience there. Right, so here's our client application, and we've got two buttons here. So let's hit register. So I'm going to hit register. It's going to request a channel from WNS.
Yep.
And then it's going to post that channel up to our cloud service.
So essentially, if we map it back to the board here, this is steps one and two.
That's right. So let's hit register. There we go. So you can see there's a channel there. So this would have been posted up to our cloud service, which is running on localhost here. So if I hit refresh, we should see C# 36. And there it is down the bottom. And there's the channel. So now we can actually go out and send a notification to this.
Yep, so that's stored now in Windows Azure table storage.
Table storage.
In the local storage emulator.
Yep. Did you want to see that?
Oh, we see it right here.
Okay, cool. So let's hit send. So we've got a few different notification types here. So let's start perhaps with toast.
Okay.
So let's send a toast notification. And let's choose an image. So what you'll note is in the second drop down, there's a whole rich variety of different templating types.
Yep.
And with push notifications and notifications/live tiles in general on Windows 8, there's a wide variety of different templates you can use to surface the information for your application.
A lot of different variants.
Yep. But essentially that means you can surface it the way you want it to be for your application. and that's what these are about. So we'll just use a simple toast image and text. And we'll perhaps use the Windows Azure logo. And let's say, Wade, please don't leave us. There we go. So that's it. Now I can hit send. So this is going to authenticate against WNS and compose a toast notification and send that through to the channel URI for this client application. Yep. And there you go. You can see up in the top right here that we've received that notification. So that it's quite literally that simple.
It is that simple, yeah.
So,
yep, go ahead.
Would you like to see any of the other templates?
Yeah, let's
apps?
Take a look at tile and badge.
Okay, let's do a tile. So tile notifications, and again here you can see there's a whole wide range of different template types there. If you want to go and see visually what these look like, they're documented on MSDN.
Yep.
So you can pull that up quite easily. But I do have.
Well, I don't know. Tile wide peak image collection 04 seems pretty descriptive to me. So.
Okay. Let's give that a shot. It's let's mock this guy up. So it's got a few images on this one, and let's do Nate, Wade.
Nick, we don't want to scare people here.
And James. Those Azure dudes.
Does it default to James on the square tile image?
Well, that's only because I've uploaded that particular image through the blobs tab that we talked about earlier.
Gotcha.
The default images that are available in the toolkit are just the Windows Azure logos.
Oh, I see. Okay, so we're not sending down Nick, Nate, Wade, and James as images as part of the toolkit?
No, but if you want them, I'm sure we can get them in there. just add a comment at the end of the show. So let's hit send. So this is, in this case, now it's sending a tile to us. So if we come across, you can see that tile for application has just popped up there.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
That's right. It's a little bit Brady Bunch style.
Windows Azure dudes.
And that's the tile peeking, so you can see that text.
But it's impressive. I mean, you didn't have to do a whole lot. And
that's right.
You'll show us in a minute how this is occurring.
That's right.
But, I mean, really, from an implementation perspective, pretty straightforward in terms of doing this.
Yeah, and so. I think one of the key points to note is this does make it easy. And if you're building out a Windows 8 Metro-style application, this new start screen really is one of the defining features in Windows 8 Consumer Preview.
Absolutely.
So if you
see some really good hardware, you know, for I don't know, what are they slates? Is that what we're calling them? But you know, different form factors, you know, not just a laptop or PC, classic tower PC, but when we start seeing some new devices out there, it'll be pretty awesome.
That's right. Great. And the key point to remember is this start screen is the gateway to your application.
Yep.
And using push notifications in live tiles is a way to engage with your user, show them relevant and up-to-date information, and draw them back into your app.
Absolutely.
And ultimately, at the end of the day, you really want those users coming back to your application, and this is a way to do that.
Yep. Awesome. All right. Well, let's take it a step further. So now I've got these things. I've used the toolkit, but I want to extend things. Let's show people how we can get rid of those references and point directly back to the libraries.
Right. All right. So let's start with the client application.
Sure.
So the client application dropped in or configured a few things specifically for us. So the first thing that it pulled in is Windows 8 notifications. So this is a NuGet package. So I'm not sure if you can do this, Bob, but let's try it. So if you do in the Package Manager console, install package Windows 8 notifications, maybe there, that's going to go and install this for you. Some of the other things that go off and get added here, I guess some key configuration points. So if you're creating a blank application and perhaps using the NuGet packages, there's a few key things you need to enable to allow these scenarios to occur that you've just seen.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is, if you want that wide tile logo on your start screen, you need to add a wide logo. So we do that for you. And in the blank template,
it doesn't have one.
That's not there.
Right.
And the second thing which some people tend to, if they're using the toolkit but they're building their own client app without the File New Project experience, they sometimes miss to enable toast notifications for the client app. And the last thing that we push in there is that credential that we pulled from the WNS portal down into our client application. So they're the three key things you need if you're doing it yourself.
Yep.
Plus the NuGet package. But let's remove the assembly and just add the real code so you can see some of that. So I'm going to add an existing project, and we're going to go to /windows-azure-wap-windows, which is the install directory for the toolkit. So within libraries, we've got this recipe for the client application. And there's the source for the NuGet package there. Right, so let's add a reference to that now from our client app, and we'll use solution. Click past it, there we go, hit OK. Right, and perhaps we'll set a breakpoint on those key WinRT APIs that are executed to request a channel.
So we can take a look at it, yep.
Yep. So here it is here. So when we call, hit the register button, it eventually ends up here in the register method. And this calls in to create push notification channel for application async. So that's a WinRT API, and that will request a channel from WNS and push it back into your application. So we'll put a breakpoint there, and we'll put a breakpoint here where it's actually executed the callback. So that's the client. Let's set some breakpoints in the server side as well.
Okay.
So here's our Windows Azure project. We're going to remove out another NuGet package, which is WNS recipe. So install package space WNS recipe.
Yeah, and this is the assembly that makes it really easy to compose the notification that gets sent out.
That's right. Yep.
So it handles all the different variants of it.
Yep. So let's set some breakpoints on that so they can see how they could use this in their own applications as well. So we've removed that assembly. So let's add the full source in here again. So WNS recipe, drill in, there it is there, delivered in the libraries folder again. And let's add a reference to that from our web project. And WNS recipe, there it is.
Great.
So let's set those a couple key breakpoints here as well and spin it up. So we've got a controller, the push notifications controller. So this is what's behind that form where we're driving the notifications. And we'll just put a breakpoint in on toast notifications. So here it is here. Now, if you can see here, this is actually the WNS recipe.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a toast notification class, and we instantiate that, and we pass in a token provider.
Yep.
So the token provider is also part of the WNS recipe. And this is the component that performs the auth piece.
Right, and gets the token back that allows you to then send the notification. Yep.
And as we discussed earlier, there's the externalized credentials that we collected in the wizard. So let's leave that breakpoint there. And then let's go down to the recipe, and we'll set some breakpoints in there as well. So we want to perhaps break when we generate the payload. And the other key or important step is perhaps let's make sure that we're also breaking when we request that token from WNS.
Cool.
All right, let's spin it up. So, of course, I always spin up my services, so my client application has something to call into.
Mm-hmm.
So this should spin up that same site that we've seen earlier.
I'm sure the client will handle it well when there is no service to call into.
Yes, it should do. Actually, there's exception handling in there, from what I recall. We can check. It does, and it should bubble up a message saying it can't reach the server.
Cool.
Yep. So let's log in here. Again, credentials are in the documentation. Okay. And let's spin up our client and step through the process. Any second, there we go. Right, so let's hit register. Mm-hmm. So let's recall those three key steps. Request a channel from WNS, register that channel with your cloud service, and then authenticate and push a notification via WNS.
Yep, so we'll see the first two here.
Yep, let's hit register. So this is going to, as Wade said, do the first two. It's going to request a channel, and then it's going to register that with our cloud service. This API here is the WinRT API to request a channel from WNS. Mm-hmm. It's an async operation. So I'm just going to hit F5 on this, let that execute, and you can see now that we're in here and we can see the result of that.
Yep.
But essentially that's where our channel comes into play. And then we need to post that to our cloud service. And to do that, we've just put a little operation here that goes and composes a payload, which has your channel URI and some specifics about the application, and that posts that up to the local host WAC endpoints.
Right.
So let's hit F5. Let that do that. There's the channel.
Great.
And now let's flip back to our services and create a notification. So quickly jump into Table Explorer and just see we do have Windows Azure table storage here for the endpoints. And you can see that this is our application, and it's gone and stored that endpoint in there. It's being updated. Okay, so we've logged in, and now we're on the push notifications page. So let's go ahead and send a notification and see how we compose that and auth against WNS, and then finally do the push to a channel. So let's hit send notification. We set the breakpoints for toast in our push notifications controller. And then we'll choose tile, image, and text. And let's use Wade. So always remember you guys. And hit send. Right, so now we've hit our breakpoint. So this is our push notifications controller. And you can see here that we compose our toast notification. Now we've got a token provider here that we looked at earlier, but the key things that we've got there are that client ID and secret from the portal that the wizard injected into here. The next key thing we've got is the type of toast notification, and importantly, the channel that we're pushing to. So that's the one which comes from the client. So let's step over that and step into the send now. So we can see, let's have a look at what we actually compose here to send a notification. So the payload of a notification is actually a HTTP post that goes against goes to WNS. But we have to generate an XML payload. So all of these notifications are represented by a payload that's XML, and that is essentially specific to each of the different template types that we've seen in the UI. So if we hover on this guy, you can see that we've generated some payload here, and you can see that we've got the template, we've got a source for that image, so it's using our storage emulator. This would be your storage account if you're published to the cloud, and we've got some text. So now that we've got that, let's step into the send and look at the authentication step and the push step of that payload. So I've set those breakpoints before, so I'm just going to hit F5. So we hit on stop on the auth step.
Okay.
Sound good?
Yep.
So hit F5, and now we're at the WNS access token provider. Now, to request or to get that access token that we put into the header of each post we push out to WNS, we need to essentially form a payload that pushes that client secret and package SID to an endpoint or a URL, and that particular URL is login.live.com.
Okay.
You can see that we've also got the client ID, which is the package SID, and we've got the client secret. So we go and perform that post, and ultimately what we get back is an auth token. Now, this auth token is this string here, and that's what we put in the authorization header. So let's carry on. We do some caching around that so it's efficient, so you're not authenticating on every single notification, because quite literally you may be sending millions of notifications if you've got a large user base, so you don't want that inefficiency in your process.
And how long will the token last for?
I believe it's 24 hours.
24 hours?
Something like that. But the toolkit goes and has all the code to handle if that token's expired, as you can actually see on the screen here. And we'll go out and we'll re-request to get that token if it's expired. So it's all done for you. And then we finally compose that message, and then we do the post, and you can see that's just turned up here. So one of the interesting things for those building out enterprise, you know, applications or such that may be using this is we do pull some information back from WNS that people can use to make a smart implementation of how they handle notifications. And you can see that in the result here. So you can see a notification status of received there. And if we composed our notification and said request for status, we could actually see some information about the device status that WNS is holding. Say, for instance, it's disconnected or such. In which case, you may want to back off sending notifications and just reduce the load that your servers have to go out and deal with when pushing notifications.
Yep. That's great.
So that's it.
Awesome.
That's end-to-end the code.
That's great. Well, I appreciate you going through it in detail. I mean, it's nice not to only see the file new project experience, but to show people that next level, that next step, so that you know you can just grab all these resources and take it away. So thanks a lot.
No probes.
All right, so it's that moment. It's the moments before the tip of the week, and where our editor Bob does a fabulous job of introducing this week's tip. And so, once again, I don't really have any ideas for what he should cover.
Maybe you can take perhaps that first article of the news as inspiration.
Oh well, we'll see. Well, let's leave it to Bob.
Yeah,
so,
that's good.
So with that, here is your tip of the week.
Thank you.
In a past life, I used to be fairly athletic and, you know, enjoy getting out into the mountains once in a while and hopefully get back into that. And we're back.
Hey.
All right. So, for the tip today, what we thought we would do is highlight how the toolkit can be useful, even if you don't want to leverage the V6 files, which I don't know why you wouldn't want to. But if at the very least you wanted to grab the toolkit and then leverage some of the scripts to help set up your environment, the resources are in here, and we just wanted to show you where you can get them.
That's right. So if you're not going to go off and execute the setup command because you want to perhaps avoid installing those V6 files, although I think perhaps you could press no, but if you wanted to avoid that whole process and you just wanted to configure IIS, say, for the Azure bits, you can come into the Windows Azure, WAP Windows, which is the base install directory. You can go to Setup, and we can execute, install the features for IIS for Windows 8, or if you're developing the services component, on, say, Windows 7, you can run that too.
And this is actually a good thing worth highlighting. Like, you're writing everything, running everything on one machine.
That's right.
It is possible that you're doing all your Windows Azure development on a Windows 7 machine.
Yep.
You can still leverage the toolkit. We've still got a script that sets up and configures everything for Windows Azure.
Yep.
Now, as part of the setup script that you just showed, showed before, it determines, you know, which operating system you're using.
Correct.
But if you wanted to just run it yourself, you could come right here. Do you want to look at the script real quick? Just do a quick
sure.
edit. We can show
so
people exactly
we'll look at Windows 8 because that's really people perhaps on, if they were trying to just get the Azure bits only installed on Windows 7, they could just use WebPI.
Yep, WebPI.
So let's look at Win8 specifically here. So we can come in and you can see that it's just a simple DISM
command. It's just a bunch of echoes. That's all it is.
A lot of echoes. Well, we felt that given that it does take a couple of minutes that people want to know what's happening so they don't think it's perhaps hung or something like that. You can see it just goes on and installs each of those features individually.
Yep.
So if you want to execute that now, you just need to right click on it, run as administrator, and that's going to go and do that for you.
So nice, quick and easy way to just get things configured. So.
Yeah. And then of course after that, you would go and install the Azure SDK.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good point because we're not running that WPF client, that the client that's then checking the other dependencies. So at this point, I can just use WebPI then at this point to get Windows Azure SDK and tools set up.
That's correct.
Manually,
after this script is run, that will work for you.
Great.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, rather than sitting here and watching it run all the time, run through it again, we'll go ahead and thank everyone for joining us today.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for coming on the show and walking
through
it. As always, you can reach the Cloud Cover Show on Twitter at Cloud Cover Show. Nick is also on Twitter at Cloud Nick.
Yes, that's
so, you know, let him know what you think of the toolkit.
Yep.
And actually, really, you know, if you guys have feedback, if you want it to go in a direction, if there are things that you want to do with Windows Azure, leveraging Windows 8 Windows 8 applications, let Nick know.
Yeah, and, definitely.
He'll make it happen. Yep. So
So I'd love to hear that because anything coming back from the community, if you need a particular feature or NuGet or something to leverage Azure from the client, that's very valuable to us because we can try and prioritize around what people want to use when they're building.
Yep.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And I think you missed one thing, Wade. Come on, you're not that well known that everyone knows your Twitter handle.
Oh,
what's your Twitter handle?
Wade Wegner. Okay. Very difficult. So thanks. Appreciate it, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.